In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow unto the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God,
Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
reading from Acts. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument who I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. You, Lord, with your favor made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
A reading from Revelation. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go to wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Alan Bosack writes of the experience blacks had in South Africa during the days of apartheid. The hands of their oppressors, they experienced cruel treatment, imprisonment, and were even killed. Bosack writes, Black people in South Africa have made freedom songs part of the struggle. In fact, the struggle is inconceivable without them. Marching down the streets, facing the police and army troops of the South African government, they sing. In jail, they sing songs of defiance and faith and freedom. We sing because we believe. We sing because we hope. We sing because we know that it is only a little while and the tyrant ceases to exist. Revelation is a book with themes of hope and worship. And that hope is knowing that one day the tyrant shall cease to exist. This modern day witness that we see here expressed during the days of apartheid, of how worship and hope in the Lamb who was slain, who has begun his reign, makes it accessible to us, I believe. But why do we want to worship? Why do we want to sing? It is because of the hope that is revealed to us in the scriptures, and in this book in particular, Revelation, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, who we know has already conquered the tyrants of this world. In our lesson last week from Revelation, this book of apocalyptic literature starts with good news. We know that that ultimate victory belongs to our God, who is ruler of the universe. That's an important note to make from the outset and the mindset of Christians in the context of who the book of Revelation was written for at the time, because they thought and saw that the Roman rulers, the political systems, and the institutions seemed to be the ones who had all the power, the ones who were in charge. Much like those experiencing the oppressive repercussions of apartheid, where it seemed power was at the hands of tyrants. Yet they were filled with faith and hope for a new tomorrow. In between what we heard last week and this week from Revelation, there's the letters to the seven churches, and chapter 4 further proclaims how the community of faith is a worshiping community. And N.T. Wright writes this about Revelation chapter 5. Quote, "From this moment on, John, as we, as his careful readers, are to understand that the victory won by the lion is accomplished through the sacrifice of the lamb, and in no other way. But we are also to understand that what has been accomplished by the lamb's sacrifice is not merely the wiping away of sin for a few people here and there. The victory of the Lamb is God's lion-like victory over all the forces of corruption and death, over everything that would destroy and obliterate God's good, powerful, and lovely creation." End quote. The good news, the victory is won, and the conclusion of chapter 5 that we hear today emphasizes that. We're reminded that at the throne of God in heaven, that is central. Again, the statement that is being made here that is good news for us is that the one who is seated at the throne of God in heaven is creator and ruler of the universe. We do not have to fear because the Lamb has conquered. Yet, that does not always sit well with us. Why? Because we still deal with evil in the world. We still contend with struggles in our own life. We may rejoice in God's victory. We may have hope for a new tomorrow, but in the meantime, we deal with much pain and suffering in the world. We live in a world where God can feel absent. We're assured of the providence of God in the book of Revelation. That feels at odds when someone tragically dies in an accident, when we're slowly saying goodbye to someone with Alzheimer's, when illness and diseases like cancer hit too close to home. Pandemics, wars, and genocide throughout human history into the present time speak of our need as a people of faith to struggle with what may seem to be the absence of God in the world and in our lives. While we can point to the providential nature of God, the book of Revelation also respects humanity's freedom to do good or to do evil. For example, in Revelation chapter 18, verse 3, we hear how the world is devoted to power and wealth. And it is a world that sells human beings like merchandise. Hearing of God's victory during this can seem puzzling at times, to say the least. How do we deal with evil in the world, with bad things happening to good people, while also taking seriously God's providential nature and belief that our God is love? Theologian Paul Tillich describes the providence of God as, quote, directing creativity, end quote. That God is still at work. God is still creating a universe to conform with the design of God. This God does not come at the expense of human freedom. Rather, God works through humanity. God is working through a broken humanity. It is with that reality that Christian life is rooted in a life of worship and hope when confronted with a world filled with evil, pain, and heartache. Because Revelation, in a sense, is presenting us two religions: the religion of the empire or the way of Christ. The religion of the empire destroys the lambs of this world. The way of Christ shows us a God that does not overcome evil, does not overcome the power of the empire, with a revolutionary leader that fights violence with violence. The way of Jesus is the image of a lamb that takes away the sin of the world, that embodies a way of love and a way of peace. Erica Williams writes, quote, "A man considered a nobody set it off by showing radical love and revolutionary compassion and by speaking truth to power. Jesus turned the world right side up. The empire thought it had just put Jesus down by lynching him, but all it did was plant a seed," end quote. Oppressed Christians have been pushing back against the empire for centuries in different places all over the world and continue to do so in the present. Also, throughout the centuries, Christians have been alleviating the burdens of those who are suffering. We are a people of worship and hope. We believe that our God is active in the world and in our lives. God is using us as an instrument of God's directing creativity, signposts of heaven. In working through our flawed humanity, God seeks to draw all people to God's self. And in our gospel lesson this morning, we hear that story of Jesus asking Peter three times if he loves him. And after asking him three times, Peter answers him, assuring him three times that he does love Jesus. And then what does Jesus do? He tells him to feed his sheep. We tend to reduce faith in the West and in our society in particular as solely being about knowing about Jesus, having knowledge and the right information about Jesus. Yet Jesus is concerned with more than Peter knowing that he's resurrected. He wants to know his heart. He wants to know his love for him. Notice that in this scene, none of the disciples question that Jesus is raised from the dead. They know it's the Lord. And Jesus is asking for more than that. Our worship and hope are grounded in our love for the Lord, which is a response to the unconditional love our God has for us. And that love cannot be contained in just a me and Jesus relationship. And Jesus, in a sense, with Peter here, and he forbids it with us. If we love Jesus, if our lives as Christians are marked by worship and hope, then we are all also commissioned to feed the sheep of our Lord. Dr. Kim at the Methodist Theological School in Ohio commented on our calling to feeding the sheep. And he wanted to offer a Korean perspective and how our actions should speak much, much louder than our words in acts of love, and not just focusing on that having the right information. That God's directing creativity at work through the church enables us to feed God's sheep in many and various ways. Dr. Kim points out that when it comes to feeding God's sheep, perhaps the cuisine is up to us. That directing creativity that God gives us as followers of Jesus and the church. Just in our own congregation, think of all the cuisines that we produce to feed God's sheep. It could be quilts that are sent around the world to keep people warm, meals and snacks that get families through the weekend sent home in the backpacks of children, meals given to members of our community each week as they drive through here, walking with those in crisis through our Stevens ministry. Those are just some of the various cuisines that we offer to feed those that need to be fed in this world with the love of Jesus. Like those who are experiencing hardship as they read the book and read or heard the book of Revelation. Like those who experienced the heartache of apartheid. Like all Christians past and present who have lived in a world with tyrants and calamity. We continue to be a people who worships the Lamb and have hope in the victory. And just like the saints of past and present, we do not contain our hope and our love for our Lord to ourselves, but we feed others with love, that in the midst of pain and suffering that is still in the world today, we point to the hope that we have in a world to come by feeding all people with the love of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with Him, Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Holy One of new beginnings, fill us with new life. Send us into the world as you sent your apostles Philip and James to invite people to come and see your wondrous acts in Christ. God, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen's ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God, in your mercy. Revive ecosystems along coastlands that have been devastated by natural forces and human negligence. Reestablish plant and animal life that purifies air and water and that feeds humans and other living creatures. God, in your mercy. Accompany laborers who get little rest from their work. Give them hope when they struggle to produce what they need. Give all who labor fair treatment and just wages. God, in your mercy. Restore all people who cry to you for help, especially Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Nadine, Cheryl, Barb, Lucas, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, Carol, Dave, Cindy, and Tim, and are homebound. Turn their mourning into dancing. Clothe them with joy and put a testimony of healing and praise on their lips. God, in your mercy. Be present to faithful ones who are persecuted for following you. Sustain them by your faithfulness and give them strength in the name of Jesus. God, in your mercy. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, Luke, and their chaplains. God, in your mercy. Join our voices with angels, creatures, and all the saints in praising Christ and bestowing upon him all blessing and honor and glory. Reveal Christ's glory to us and through us in our worship. God, in your mercy.
In your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And
lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke, and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who willing gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us
not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them.
And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament. will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. For those who are participating in Children's Church and Communion Assistance, can come forward right now. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You who have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, go tell the whole world of his love.
Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Take those calendars out and circle next Sunday, because there is a potluck. So if you have no place to go, please come here, and we will all celebrate having a mom, okay, at some point. So everyone's invited. So next Sunday, potluck after this service. Have a great day.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.